enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to...
Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
He's Blank. I am Branham. And it's time for the next few matchups in the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket. But first, the three matchups yesterday, Blankers.
Yes.
One was really lopsided. The other two, though... came down to the wire. I'll give you the blowout first. Clint Sterner beat Del Olole 66-34. A little closer than I thought, actually. I think Del covered the spread.
We set the tone. We didn't think that Mopes was going to stick up to the Baytown baddie. So I think we expected
Mopes?
That. Mopes and Mapes.
Yeah, Mopes and Mapes.
Renato calls the show.
He calls Del Mopes?
Yeah, he calls Mopes and Mapes is the show from 10 to noon.
Is that your first
that's
time
hilarious.
Hearing that?
That's my first time hearing that, yeah. Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's really funny.
Yeah, that's a deal, then.
Del covered the spread, though. He should hold his chin up high. But Clint advances in the Palillo region. The other two came down to the wire. Buzzer-beating shots to get the other twos to advance. Joe and Figgy Fig went down to the wire. Joe comes out on top. Joe wins 50.5% of the vote to Figgy Fig's 49.5% of the vote. Tight.
Wow, that was close.
He won by one. It's probably one vote.
Difference. He didn't know that if he won or not.
Peel back the curtain a little bit, Jeremy actually had to like make sure and go into the Twitter poll. Because if you just go to the basic view of the Twitter poll, 50-50? It showed it 50-50.
Really?
So yeah, exactly.
If you look on the website, like on the computer version of Twitter, it'll give you the first decimal. If you look on your phone, it doesn't give you the first decimal. So it showed 50-50. It showed 50-50 on that one, and Joe won. It actually showed 50-50 on the second one, too. Between Adam Clanton and Patrick Creighton.
I told you that was going
to
be
this
closer.
Went down to the wire. I was shocked. I was shocked to see this.
Yeah, this one legit shocked me. I'll give credit to maybe Joel's sales pitch. He really sold Patrick well, and it seems the voters bought it.
Fire plug, yeah.
He's a gritty New Yorker.
Yeah.
You might be right. Adam did advance, though, but by the thinnest of margins. It was thinner than Joe and Figgy. Adam got 50.3% of the vote. Patrick Creighton got 49.7%. of the vote.
So he just barely won that much.
Really? I thought Glenn would win this like 60-40. I don't know. It's not hate, I don't think, right? Like, if you're getting the vote here, that means you're liked, I think.
Maybe.
No? All right. We have three matchups today. We have one final matchup in the Palillo region. It comes down to Sean Mapes versus Matt Thomas. Brian, which side of this are we arguing?
All right, so starting off for our first matchup, Joe will be arguing for Matt Thomas, and Jeremy will be arguing for Sean Mapes.
All right, Blankers, go ahead and do the honor.
I go first.
Beauty.
Well, the first thing is I heard the matchup and thought, what should I do? Because I didn't know what I should do. And then I thought, well, you know what? I would like to just tell you about all my accomplishments about, that I'm only the fourth radio announcer in the history of, and I have 10,000 followers, and I'm going to celebrate every extra one that I get, and that because I'm such a big deal, I carry a big, a lot of weight, and I carry a lot of clout, and I should be able to take out a producer like Sean Mapes, because been there, done that, and I continue to do it, and I mean, I am the strongest in such a major market presence that there's no way I should lose.
All right, I'm going to argue Mapes here. Here are the points that I'm using on Mapes. One, he's got long hair, which maybe Matt will be jealous of.
That's your first point.
It's not my best point. It's my first point. Okay. Secondly, he went to Texas, so he's kind of weird, and I think being kind of weird is important in a fight. You got to be kind of weird in order to win a fight. He's younger. He's far younger, and he's far more athletic. And usually, the most athletic guy in the fight wins the fight. So Sean Mapes, with his athleticism and with his youth, they take this. They are advancing in the Palillo region.
Don't forget the headband.
The headband's going to keep his hair out of his eyes so he's not blind.
Yeah, it's a tactical advantage.
Yes, and he's got the WWE feel to him.
Oh, yeah. Sean is now a big sports entertainment fan, I think. So thanks to me spending time with me every Saturday on the bullpen.
Are you serious?
All right, I'm gonna go 10-8 decision in favor of Sean Mapes. The youth is going to be served here. Matt Thomas, all due respect to him. Sean Mapes is the far better athlete. He's far younger. Sean Mapes, for people who don't know, we had a producer fantasy football league here at the station, and we did a producer combine, which actually included some athletic events. And Sean Mapes was the fastest person up the stairs, even beating out Andrew Carlson, who was a noted athlete himself. Yeah, so Sean Mapes, a sneaky athlete, which I feel like is maybe saying something without saying something. But, yeah, Sean Mapes takes this
10-8. I think you're forgetting.
Well, we'll find out when the next party happens.
Do you know he's the voice of the Rockets on radio?
I've heard that.
Okay, we got to make sure.
Okay.
Brian argued that better than I did. He argued it way
So Sean Mapes, 10-8.
Okay, the next matchup is the first matchup in the Ralph Cooper region. And this one comes down to a couple of Mexicans. It's me, Jeremy Branham, versus John Lopez. So I'll be arguing for myself, obviously. Although it'd be kind of funny if we argued it the other way around. Maybe we'll switch that up if either one of us are lucky enough to advance.
It actually would be entertaining if we made Joel argue for you and then you
want
to argue
it?
For Lopez.
Let's flip it,
then. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Right.
Let's flip it.
Joel, you'll be arguing for Jeremy, and Jeremy will be arguing for Lopez. Okay. Joel, why don't you go ahead?
No, Jeremy gets that. We're rotating. Jeremy goes first.
All right, that's fine. Jeremy, go
ahead. Lopez stands no chance in this one, but for the sake of the bit, you know, he's got dad strength. He's good with his hands because he's a fisherman, because he grills a lot. He's an outdoorsy guy, so maybe he can be kind of scrappy. Is old enough to be my father, so that dad strength there for Lopez. There's my argument for John.
That didn't seem like a very passionate argument there.
could you do the Lopez?
I think Jeremy kind of mailed it in there.
Can you do the Lopez laugh in the background?
I'm not capable. No, I'm not capable of that.
I know, I just did it for you. Look, I think this one is where you're going to run circles around him. You found a guy that, you know, look, you're not afraid of the cheap shot. You're a fan of drama. You like the hit after the whistle. I think that Lopez will be walking back to the corner, and you're not afraid to haymaker him from behind or bump him or nudge him a little bit. I think that you're going to find a way to do whatever it takes to claw and scratch and get in there and make a difference. And I think age matters, as you always point out. And I think that, you know, you have a massive age advantage, and you should take advantage of it.
I'm taking this one to the cards.
So if there's such thing as dad strength, is there such thing also as grandfather strength? Because Lopez is now a grandfather.
Oh,
so I'm gonna look. I love you, Jeremy. I've worked with you for a long time, but I'm actually go John Lopez 10-9 decision. John Lopez is a man's man. We've seen the fishing pictures. I think he can handle himself in a fight. He's got hooks at his disposal. He might just have one in one of those fishing shirts he wears every day. Whip it out and cut up Jeremy. Whoa. So I'm going to actually take Lopez in a 10-9 close decision.
He's more concerned about pumping his sauces than he is biting.
He can break one of those bottles over Jeremy's head. You don't know what he's got on him.
1984, Lopez would whoop Branham's bad word. Come on, he's a giant bad word. I'll have you know that I'm very quick. I was a high school athlete. I hit 400 my senior year.
I was going to bring that up.
If Lopez tries to throw something at Jeremy, Jeremy will catch it.
I have great hands. I have quick hands, which is great for jabbing. That's why I'm taking it to the cards. I'm very hard-headed, as all of you know, with as stubborn as I am. You know I'm hard-headed. I'm very, very tough. No way I'm losing this fight.
And you created Taco Tuesday.
I did. So I'm innovative and brilliant. All right, final matchup of the day. It is also in the Cooper region. It is Booker T versus Sean Pendergast. Brian, who's arguing who here?
Yeah. Does it matter? Does it matter who argues for who?
No, probably not.
All right, for the sake of fun, we will have Jeremy argue for Sean Pendergast. Joel, you will be arguing for Booker T.
Okay, this is easy for me.
Go ahead, Joel. Take it away.
Five time. I mean, you have, if you look at the tail of the tape, I don't know how you can't look at a guy that's the five-time champ, a guy that's still in unbelievable shape. He's strong as all get out. He's absolutely overwhelmingly experienced in terms of the fight game. And it's not getting, you know, he's not slowing down as it regards to any kind of fight anytime soon. He's in better shape. He's stronger. He's smarter fighting. And he's going to be the guy that has all the tactics to make sure he takes it home.
Sorry, I'm reading the text.
Do you have an argument?
Sorry. Oh. Yeah, I have an argument. Sean looks great, man. Like, Sean has done a really good job
with
his body.
He has lost
Sean looks fantastic.
As an average dude, yeah.
He's got really big calves. I have noticed that about Sean.
He's a five-time Smack-Off champion.
Five-time Smack-Off champion, so he knows about competition. So, Sean, I didn't realize it was five times, so he's also five-time champion.
Yep.
So, like, they have that tell of the tape. They're both five-time champions. Sean's got him beat, I think, with the lower body because of those calves. Those calves are massive. Booker T's got pencil legs, and he has trouble walking these days. He's moving around with a limp these days. Sean's going to out... Is he going to out anything? He's going to out-talk him. He's going to out-talk Booker T. He never had trouble, you know, giving up a gaffe on a promo like Booker T did back in his Harlem Heat days. So Sean's going to beat him with his wit. He's going to beat him with his calves. And Sean's going to pull out the biggest upset in the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket.
All right, this one's not even going to the cards. We're going round one stoppage for Booker T. I'm not going to even belabor the point any further.
I don't know how. I think if we just go back, if anybody heard our predictions, it's hard to hard to understand how anybody would fight the opposite of Booker T.
I mean, look, Booker T is a favorite not only to win this matchup, but win the whole thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. There's only saw our final four in our predictions.
There's only one or two people that would stand a chance against Booker T in this bracket. And Sean's not one of them. All due respect to Sean.
0834 says Lopez win, Branham gets disqualified. It's Fight Club. I'm going to get disqualified.
There's no rules. You're not getting disqualified.
How do you get disqualified? Tony22 says, Branham, why does everyone keep bad wording on you? I just don't get it.
I don't either. I don't get it either.
713-780-ESPN. We'll have the matchup. There's one matchup you can vote on now. Another matchup will post at 4:30. Another matchup will post at 5 at Jeremy Branham. So another day, the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket will reveal the winners of today's matchups on Monday and then come out with a few more matchups. 713-780-ESPN. Guess the date for the four injured starters. Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Justin Verlander, Jose Urquidy. When do those four guys come back? We'll give you a little bit of a hint with Joe Espada with a timeline on Urquidy when we come back. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you're experiencing pattern baldness, hair loss, thinning, you don't think there's anything you can do about it. You've seen the sprays and the creams and the foams, but you know that they only mask the problem. They don't solve the problem. The NeoGraft procedure does. And as a listener to our station and our show, as also someone that's interested in the NeoGraft, you get a free consultation with Doc and his staff by going to 975hair.com. Most people pay $150 off the street just to meet and talk to Doc and his staff to figure out if it's right for them. If it's right for you and you want to talk about it, it's free. No signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket, no commitment, just you asking questions, getting answers, and seeing if it's right for you like it was right for me. I can't speak enough positivity about the NeoGraft and Doc Linville. I got my hair back. He told me and explained to me when I had my consultation, you never are going to lose the sides and the back of your hair, the hair and the sides and the back of your head. As much as you lose it on top or in back, genetically, you're just never going to lose it. So Doc takes some of it, puts it where you need it most, and almost instantly you see all the follicles. In 6 to 9 months, they're stronger, they're longer, and you know they're not going anywhere to the point where you get your hair back. It's absolutely phenomenal, and you can be the next in line to get the procedure. All I ask you to do is give them a shot. Talk to them. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
He's blank on Branham. They are at Nick's Place. $4 beers and well drinks, $5 Ritas, $6 wine, all until 6 o'clock. Blankers, have you ordered your pizza yet?
No, sir. I think I'm also going to get the family some dinner, depending on what the mother-in-law wants, so I'm going to do it on a to-go so that we can all eat together.
So you're getting three or four pizzas, huh?
I don't know. Mother-in-law might want pasta. She might want a calzone. We'll find out.
If it's free, give me three.
It's not free. I'm paying for it.
I'm teasing. Tony 22, Pendergast is gonna leg whip his calves and sweep the legs enough time to weaken his base so he's not stable enough and wins in a 10-second knockout because Booker T can't stand up.
Let's be honest. Even if Booker T has his ground game working, Booker T's strength is going to be a difference maker even if they're on the ground.
Yeah, I think that he could get him off his feet maybe once, but, like, does he have any ground and pound? Does he have any submission game to put Booker T away? I don't think so. And even with Booker T's bad legs these days, I still think that he can hit a spin-a-rooney and hop right back onto his feet. So he might be able to get him down once, maybe twice, but I don't think that he's going to be able to do any damage from the ground.
I will say this, Jeremy, as obviously Sean, another pro wrestling fan, if any opponent has studied Booker T's moves long enough to maybe have a scouting report on
true.
Booker T, it would be Sean Pendergast.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Anyways, the Astros
but
have
still,
four.
Booker T knocks them out.
Yeah. The Astros have four starting pitchers who I think are really good that aren't going to pitch. Whether it's Justin Verlander, Lance McCullers, Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy. The four starters. That's an above-average starting rotation. That's an above-average. Yeah. You can throw just like a regular like Major League Baseball journeyman to be your fifth starter there, and that's going to win you a good amount of ball games. If you have a good offense, it might be good enough to make the playoffs, quite frankly. Guess the date on these four pitchers. First, let's give you a little bit of a hint on Jose Urquidy. Here was Joe Espada. He was on with John Heyman and Joel Sherman. Not sure how I feel about that. But Espada was on with those two guys and gave a timeline on Jose Urquidy.
You know, he'll be no throw. For a few days, we'll reevaluate him here in the upcoming days. But, you know, hopefully it sounds like it's not something that will keep him out for very long. And hopefully mid-May will be great if we could have him back. But we're going to be cautious. We're going to make sure that we get it right because we need these guys for the long haul here. Our plan and our goal always is to play late October. But we're going to be cautious. We're going to make sure that we get these guys right and get him back on the mound.
So there's okay. that on Urquidy. So let's go with Urquidy first. When do you think Jose Urquidy is going to be back?
You want the exact date? I think it's the last week in May. I think it's they're always overcautious. Mm-hmm. They're overprotective. No matter if he says mid-May or not, I think it's going to be longer than that. I think it's going to be around May 28th, May 29th, if all things go as planned and they take the time that they normally do extra. So I think that as much as he said mid-May, I'll lean towards the end of May and say, if you need the exact date, May 29th.
Did he say, yeah, because he didn't say pitching again in the bigs, right? Like, he said we'd get him back, but does that mean with the big club? Does that mean, like, a rehab assignment?
He wasn't going to throw for, like, you have to read between the lines. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's vague. They said he wasn't going to throw for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. So if he doesn't throw for 3 or 4 weeks, he's not throwing until May. And then you start to ramp him up. And, look, Justin Verlander's taken a lot during this ramp up, but he's an older guy. Like, it takes a little bit longer to get that engine running. J.P. France, like, started later than Verlander, but it looks like he's going to get back sooner than Verlander. So I think Urquidy can kind of ramp himself up all right. What's that?
Remember Lance? Lance, when he always overdoes it and says, I need, you know, to ramp up, it takes a long time for me.
Apparently something was wrong, though. Like, he had something wrong in his forearm that needed fixing, and that's why he kept saying that this doesn't feel good.
But he also, before he admitted that there was something wrong with his forearm, and he was saying, you know, when he was talking about not having his normal training staff and whatever, he's like, you know, it takes me a long time to ramp up. It's not just like a week or two. You know, it's a long process.
Different strokes for different folks, no doubt. If Urquidy's not throwing again, like even like just throwing deal until like late April, I think that your timeline's pretty good. I trust your timeline more than I would trust Espada's. Like Espada's to me sounds more like rehab assignment than it does back with the big club. So I'm actually going to go, man, I don't want to go June, but I think I want to go June. I'll go May 31st. I'll say he's back like last few days of May because I don't want to believe it to be the summer.
You righted me again?
Yeah, I did. I Price is Righted you. Because I don't the reason I didn't do it as much to Price is Right you, though, you know why I did it? I don't want to say another pitcher is out into the summer months. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to say another pitcher is out until June, whenever Lance and Luis are supposed to come back in July. All right, Verlander. When do you expect to see Verlander pitch with the Astros?
To me, I expect to see him before the end of April. I think that he'll miss a start or two, but I think that if I'm being cautiously optimistic. I'm going to say around the 21st of April. I think that, again, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious. I'm going to believe that they're going to give them a little more time than whatever the timetable they want you to believe. And I'm going to say by the third week in April, he's going to be ready to go and he'll be back on the bump.
I'm going to go with April 30th for Justin Verlander. I don't think that they're going to want to bring him back on the road. And maybe that has – maybe I'm just being ignorant there. Like, Jeff Luhnow was a guy where he actually liked his rookies to make debuts on the road because he, like, didn't have pressure and stuff like that. But I think that Verlander is going to make his first start at home. So that eliminates that entire fourth week of the season. Hopefully it's like April 15th and we have no problem. I also think the Astros are going to do it like at the start of a week. So give me April 30th on Justin Verlander, later than any of us want to hear because it's like, you know, the final day of the month.
Let me throw the other caveat in there, Jeremy, which is he's chasing not only his contract so that he can get another year, and he's also chasing how many starts he can get under his belt so he can get the wins he needs to chase 300. That's why I'm a little – I hear what you're saying. That's why I was a little bit more leaning towards sooner rather than later, because we know his timeline is a lot different sometimes than the team's timeline.
Well, then why is he taking such a long time to get ready? You know what I mean? Like, his actions
have
not really
yet
backed that up. Well, they do. They count, but if he's not available, those games do count. Like if he's slow to ramp up, and he's going to miss the first 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season, those games do matter.
Yeah, they do. But I think that it's still enough time for him. But if we get closer to the end of April and start rolling it further, then I think that he starts getting antsy too. I think that, you know, he had his bullpen sessions. I don't know if he has thrown to live hitters or not, but that was the next step. But yeah. I just think that he's unlike the situation we talked about with Urquidy. He's one of those guys where when they're looking at a time, it's probably closer to being accurate.
I feel like we overstate the whole innings pitched and chasing records type of stuff. I think it does matter to him, but I think him being 100% matters more than that. Because if he was chasing, if that was the priority, innings pitched to chase the contract, win, strikeouts, if that was the priority, I don't think we would see this deliberate of a build-up for the start of the season. I think if that was the priority, he kind of rushes through this and he's back by opening day. So, like, his actions tell me the opposite of that, actually. And they have the last 2 years. Like, he did this last year with the lad. He's like, you know what? This isn't feeling good. Let's make sure that we're right. Let's make sure that we're good. And then when he came back, he pitched the rest of the season and did not go on the injured list again. And then he's doing the same thing now. Like, he didn't have anything structurally wrong. He said he just didn't feel good. Like, it just wasn't there. And he went with a slower ramp-up period instead of rushing it back. So he's went slower ramp-up period back-to-back spring trainings. I think being 100% is more his priority than the innings pitch, the wins, the strikeouts. Not saying they don't matter. I just think that they're second and secondary to the primary of being 100%.
I don't think there's any doubt that he knows his body. He's made it very clear to express that in the media that he's not going to pitch if he's not ready. But I just feel like, unlike the situation where they're Keedy, I think that, you know, unless he has some kind of a setback, that there's enough on the table that is going to be a factor as well. That I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, as opposed to when I said with Urquidy, if they're saying mid-May, I'm going at least 2 weeks after that because of the way they like to be cautious about those things.
Lance McCullers.
Oh boy, man. I mean, look, there's a lot of things I want to say just because of what we've seen and how everything's been handled to this point with Lance McCullers. He's definitely not rushing back. He's definitely not coming back unless he's as close to 100% as he can be. I think it's going to be extended. It's going to be longer than most people thought. I don't think it's going to be the All-Star break. I think it's going to be closer to the time frame we saw the last time he did this, where he only gets about 8 or 9 starts at the end of the season. I'm going to say August 1st. I think August 1st is probably where I can realistically think, knowing Lance McCullers and his history, that he will pitch again for the Astros.
Yeah. I won't tell you that the Astros don't play August 1st.
I'm not looking at the schedule.
I know. I'm teasing you. I'm not going July. Give me August 5th at Texas. Same wheelhouse there. And then Luis Garcia, okay. Final one.
Luis Garcia, to me, that because it is the Tommy John, because that, you know, he is in their future plans, they're not going to rush him back, and there's a lot of starters. I think it's similar to the timeline of Lance. I think that based on, what is it normally, he had the surgery, I'm trying to. Did he have the? He had the surgery before July last year because it happened in his first start. I'll say Luis Garcia comes back after the All-Star break. So, what is that? What's the All-Star break?
They play July 16th.
Okay, let's go July 16th.
Well, the All-Star game July 16th. The first game will be July 19th.
Okay, so it's 17, 18, 19. Yeah, let's go 19th. July 19th. And, you know, he won't be the first game out of the game.
Yeah.
I'll go 21. July 21st.
Okay. I'm going to go with, like, the 26. But, same thing. Like, I think the Astros will stack the deck with their rotation. They can buy him an extra week after the All-Star break. I'll go July 26th, the first time that we see Luis Garcia. It's a pretty good rotation on that injured list, though. 713-780-3776. When do you think those guys are coming back? When we come back, who said it? Where Brian's going to read to us five things that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and Blankers and I are going to accurately guess who said them. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friends at Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, if you need siding, if you need windows, you need some company you can trust. You need a locally owned and operated company that has your best interest at heart. That's Allstate Siding and Windows because they have been in business for almost 50 years. It's family owned and operated for over three generations. Mary runs the entire show back at the headquarters. Mike, her brother, gets out there like he came to my house, tells us exactly how Allstate can help, tells us all the different ways that they have different deals that can make a difference. And the biggest thing that you need to realize is you can save up to 40% on your energy bills if you need siding or windows or both, and you go to Allstate Siding and Windows because of the fact that they keep that hard outer shell on your house that keeps the cool air in the summer, the warm air in the winter, and protects your house against hurricane season, which we know can be a beast here in the Southwest. They're absolutely fantastic. And because they take care of the listeners here, and they're always on our station, and we're telling you about them, they like to give you the kind of deals that back that up because we know you like deals. Therefore, right now, as always, you can get 24 months interest-free, 30% off on all windows. From a siding perspective, the same thing, 24 months interest-free, $2,500 off on a siding job, absolutely phenomenal. Check out all the different deals they have at allstatewindowsandsiding.com or call them so they can come out free and tell you how they can help you too. 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or again, allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right. All right, let's have a good weekend here. Let's have a good day, propel ourselves to a bunch of victories, and have a good weekend. He's Blank on Branham. Nick's Place, the place to be. Drink specials until 6 o'clock. Great spot to have some pizza. All of it. Great spot to watch the tournament. It's time now for Who Said It. Last week, tied, I guess. Asterisk,
push.
I'm putting on it. Push.
You weren't there.
I'm putting a major asterisk on it. It had a 6 question. Like,
it was 2-3, and then yes. Like,
and it was volunteered by Brian
that
as part of the deal.
Yes, that is true.
I verified if I get it, it counts.
I decided to give the option of the 6 question just for time reasons, since it was only one person guessing. That I thought that maybe that wouldn't eat up as much time. So, anyway.
And Shohei Ohtani doesn't bet on sports. Yeah, it's kind of asterisk. All right, what we got here? Let's give us quote number one. Brian's going to give us quotes. Blankers and I guess who said it. What's quote number one?
All right, quote number one. We're going to have teams in the North, and they'll be taking on teams from the South. I've been hearing people say another Civil War is coming. I didn't know it meant with football realignment.
Okay.
So we're trying to explain the NCAA tournament?
No, I think this is college football realignment. Yeah. I think this is the separation between the Big Ten and the SEC, kind of being the two big major conferences. See, Civil War is a Paul thing, like that. Paul
it
goes
is.
To history a lot, but
yes.
Like this is a very like surface level history reference. I think the most likely person to talk college football is actually Dell.
Dell is the number one college football guy, I would say, and Joe keeps a pretty keen eye on it, too.
That's true. But good point.
But the Civil War thing, I'm with you. I caught Paul immediately.
But does Brian know that, and he's trying to throw us off the trail? Yeah. My two guesses will be Paul and Brian, or I'm sorry, Paul and Dell. And
I'm not an Blankers,
option. Yeah, since Blankers, since you tied with Brian last week, asterisk, why don't you just see if you got a hot hand from that tie?
Boy, so I have to ask you as a team, do you really feel, how strongly do you feel that Brian would bait us with the Civil War being a ball?
Oh, Brian's always a trickster.
I mean, you call him a trickster. I mean, he's more than Bush League. He's like right there with Joe.
Yeah.
Not the Stumpy's the tree. Is that it?
Tree Mac.
Tree Mac.
Yeah, hashtag Tree Mac.
Can you say it one more time?
Sure. We're going to have teams in the North, and they'll be taking on teams from the South. I've been hearing people say another Civil War is coming. I didn't know it meant with college football realignment.
I kind of like your Dell call. When he was reading that, I could envision and hear Dell saying it like that.
Okay.
He is the college football guy.
Yeah. You want to go with it?
Who are you between the two? Because I'd say
Paul.
It's between. Yeah, I was between Dell and Paul as well. Yeah, let's roll with Dell.
All right, Dell.
We're going to have teams in the North.
Those Lance.
They'll be taking
Lance.
On teams from the South.
Think,
I've been hearing
wow.
people say another
you know
Civil War is coming. I didn't know it meant.
I kind of regret
football
this.
Realignment.
Why?
Because Dell, cheesy line.
You choose your conference. Which conference are you for?
It's kind of a cheesy line. It's kind of a cheesy line. Like, Dell's too cool to play a cheesy line like that. To use, yeah, I kind of, whatever. I would have guessed Paul anyways, though. I wouldn't have gotten Lance.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right,
you ready for number two?
Yeah.
Okay, clip number two. I don't do the housework. I cook. That's how it works. Cooking is cooking. Housework is housework. I ain't cleaning. I tell you that.
So we know that it's not Paul.
He's he doesn't have. Why wouldn't it be Paul?
Because it sounds like it's in a relationship situation. You do one or the other. You either cook or you do the cleaning.
Brian's
trying
to straight
face me. Brian's giving me this completely like
Joel was trying to
no
read me like it's a poker
stare.
Game.
He's hiding his phone.
I'm not hiding my. Well, you can.
Yeah,
you
are.
Can read.
Tilted. It's fine. It's fine.
There's
I don't
no
want,
names
I'm not trying
on here.
To cheat.
There's no names on here, so you can look at all.
I'm
all
not
you
looking.
Want.
La 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 la.
Paul would have to clean because there's no one that lives with him. I don't think Granato cooks
cook.
Or
he can
cleans.
Order out with Uber Eats.
Do you think Granato cooks?
I think this has got Johnny G written all over it.
Really?
Yep, because Johnny G loves to cook. Remember
oh,
that?
He does?
He used to bring Italian. Oh, God. He used to handmade from him. He'd bring Italian food into the station. He makes a lot of mean Italian dishes.
I did
will
not
cook.
Know that.
I think he's very foo-foo about cleaning. I think he pays someone to come clean his place. I don't think
he
cleans. I know he cooks.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's Johnny.
I did not know that. I've become more and more impressed with Granato by the day. Okay, let's go with it then. Granato.
I don't.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. Oh, I don't do the housework. I cook. Yeah, that's how it works. Cooking is
attaboy.
You nailed it. You
I
nailed
ain't
it.
Cleaning, I'll tell
you. Well, and you know he ain't cleaning. He's paying someone to clean.
Well, it's attaboy. Funny you should say that. The part, it's obviously cut out for time, but there's part of the conversation where they're talking about the fact that he's hired a cleaning
Oh, there you
service.
Go. Okay. There you go.
You were dead on all points.
Lance cooks,
if I had
think.
Well, I know he butchers barbecue.
But he's a foodie. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'll never outlive that one.
Yeah.
Lance calling catching strays. If I had money like to blow, I would have a cleaner too. It's a huge benefit.
Who wouldn't?
Huge perk.
Yeah, we used to.
Yeah, it's nice. Look at that. Look at that flex. I like it.
We used like to. A long time ago.
I don't know if used to is the flex, though.
No, it was that we used to. I mean, it was, that you once employed a cleaner. All right, number three.
Is there a less reliable industry in the world than ice cream machines?
Ice cream machines.
Right, who's getting an ice cream? This sounds like Joe George. Like, Paul
What's
eats good. I don't think
Oh,
Paul's
you're talking about, like,
a
self-serve
machine.
Ice cream
like,
machine.
Like McDonald's.
Yeah. Right, say it
I
again.
I think this is Lance or Joe, I think.
Is there a less reliable industry in the world than ice cream machines?
You don't think it could be Dell?
Does Dell eat a lot of ice cream?
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that calling Dell fat?
No, I don't think. I think I know he loves Chinese food.
Okay.
Because he loves. He always says. I think it's teriyaki chicken. He goes to.
I love Chinese food too.
Yeah, I do too. So I could see Dell saying this, and I think he would do this. Is Paul in the mix or no?
I don't think so. Paul eats too good.
So you think
and Paul's not going? I don't think Paul's eating at places where there's Chinese. Where there's like,
who'd you say, Joe or
machines.
Who?
I think it would be Joe or Lance.
Okay.
Can you say it one more time, Brian?
Sure. Is there a less reliable industry in the world than ice cream machines?
Less reliable industry.
I can see Dell saying it.
That's a weird. It's a industry.
Yeah, that's
I don't think that's Joe's vernacular.
No.
And it's also weird to call that an industry.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. That it's not an industry.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be Lance or Dell. Lance or Dell. Which one are you feeling between those two?
I feel like it's Dell.
All right, let's do it. Let's go with Dell. Dell.
Is there a less reliable industry in the world than ice cream machines?
Man, didn't see that one coming.
That's bizarre. All right.
2-1, Brian.
You were actually close, though, because Dell was a part of that conversation.
Was he?
And he was also complaining about the unreliability of going to McDonald's and getting ice cream.
Oh.
But it always being out.
So he does eat ice cream. Okay.
He does eat ice cream.
He did throw his
curveball.
All
right, so we're down 2-1. Yep.
All right, quote number 4. Here's the thing. It's sacrilegious to Houston legend Patrick Swayze to remake the movie Roadhouse. That is an affront upon the city of Houston.
That sounds
seems
so Pauly.
Seems so Pauly.
Yeah,
definitely seems Pauly, and I don't think BMAC could even hide this one.
I could see Dale talking Paul. Movie, but saying it like with those words, Paul. That's Paul. Let's go, Paul.
Okay, yeah.
Here's the thing.
I didn't care if you got that one right. Houston that was just a funny quote.
Oh, so you care sometimes? Then? Okay.
I have two goals, that they're funny and you don't go 5-for-5. Those are my two goals.
We've never gone 5-for-5.
I know. So far it's
even with Joe, which is hard to believe.
I've hit my goals so far. So you're 2-2 right now.
I think Swayze lived inside the Loop, by the way.
Did he?
I think it was Garden
Oaks. His dance coach for Dirty Dancing is a lady that teaches dance out in Sugar Land, and my daughter took classes with her for a little bit.
How old is she? 90?
Oh, she's old. No, she's an older lady, but yeah, she's still very hands on. Miss Cookie. Miss Cookie's so Dance Academy. Miss Cookie.
Miss Cookie.
Yeah. Miss Cookie's
that
tough.
That sounds made up.
Oh, no, it's
Miss
fact,
Cookie.
And she is tough.
Miss Cookie sounds like I walked do in as one I night, say, not
she's
as
a
I
tough
do.
Cookie.
She's a tough cookie. Yeah. I walked in one night and I was chewing gum. She laid into me about, we don't chew gum in this establishment. You'll spit that out right now and whatever, blah, blah. And she did it to all the parents. She lays down the law, Miss Cookie. Hmm.
She's got to be 90.
Nope. Uh-uh. No, I mean, she's over 50, but she ain't 90.
All right, number 5. This is our chance to win.
Yep.
It all comes down to this.
This is the rubber quote here, 2-2. All right. The Astros won game 2 partly because of him stealing that base. And the first couple of results is about, he won? He won tacos for people? Not he changed the course of a World Series game?
I'm having a good weekend. I'm having a good weekend. Let Jeremy talk it out a little bit. That's fine.
Can you say it again?
Sure. This is about Cameron Maybin. The Astros won game 2 partly because of him stealing that base. And the first couple of results is about, he won tacos for people. Not he changed the course of a World Series game.
See, I think this would be Joe knowing who wins tacos for people. It's not. Who is it?
No, sir. This is a
My
conversation
second guess would
between...
be Lance.
This is no, sir. This is a conversation between Sean Mapes and Dell, and it came up because they brought up Cameron Maybin and having the stolen base, thinking that he did something that really turned the tide for the Astros. And Sean's response was about Cameron Maybin and the Taco Bell thing. And then when they looked it up, they were like, "Oh my God!" The first thing that pops up is Cameron Maybin and free tacos. Although it was part of the game in which he turned the table, because after that, I think Springer hit a home run or something like that, and it was an extra innings. I feel very confident this is Dell.
Yeah. I didn't think Dell would know that Cameron Maybin got every. I didn't know that. I don't think anybody would know that he got him a free taco. But the way that you sold it, or the way that you explained it,
I don't think Dell knew.
They didn't. They looked it up.
He made reference to something about stolen bases or something, saying Cameron Maybin had that big stolen base in the World Series, and Sean chimed in and go, "You mean he's known because he got the taco?" And Dell was trying to explain how, no, it was an important part of the game, it was extra innings or whatever. But then when they looked it up on Wikipedia, the first thing it says is Cameron Maybin got the first ever taco for fans with a stolen base in the World Series.
There you go. Let's go with, I think it's Dell. So Dell? Dell?
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
saying Dell? We're saying Dell.
Because it can't be Sean, right?
No, it cannot be Sean.
Okay, then I'm saying Dell.
The Astros won game two partly because of him still in that base. And the first couple of results is about, oh, he won tacos for people. Yeah, not,
there you go.
Not he changed attaboy, the course bro. Of the attaboy. World Series game.
I didn't help at all. I didn't get one yeah,
not
right
that attaboy, Brian.
It always no, stings you. It always stings when you've heard the exact clip.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It now I can have a good weekend.
It no longer becomes who said it. It's just who heard it.
Damn right. And I did. And I'll use it. Just like if you get a good tip in gambling.
I know.
Come on.
Yeah, I need a tracker on Joel's radio so I know when he's listening, when he's not.
I wish I could
there
do that
go.
For the ratings.
There we go. Attaboy, Blankers. Way to carry us. You carried us. You got all three right.
We got a W. That's good.
Let's go.
Wave the,
attaboy.
Wave the flag.
I'll give you a virtual fist pump because you nailed
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. Who's going to lead the Astros in wins? Who's going to lead the Astros in ERA? Minimum 20 starts. 713-780-3776. Astro leader in wins and starter ERA. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. We know the tournament's going on. You know that some games are real interesting and some may not be as sexy of a matchup for you, but you can make them sexy and entertaining by putting some money down. I always tell you to do it at MyBookie.ag. It's the only place I tell you to do it because they are constantly taking care of their customers. They're doing it again right now with all these games and this big weekend with all the different sporting events. You can put money down at MyBookie.ag and you're going to cash in. How? Well, if you've never been to MyBookie before and you sign up, you put 200 in, they'll put 300 in your account. So now you got 300 instead of 200, more money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. Get a friend to sign up, you get another bonus, and you can get even more money in your account so you have more chances to win. But the main thing is, go to a place that's reputable. They've been in business for over a decade. They take care of you with some of the deals like I told you. They are going to take care of your money so you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be there when you need it. You're going to have money you can use to bet. They are fantastic. And when games aren't going on, they have live dealers standing by so that you can play casino games like poker and blackjack even if there's no games going on and you want to gamble. They are fantastic. They take care of you, but you always have to remember our promo code. It's bet975. That's how you get the deals. That's how you get the bonuses. That's how they take care of you. Anytime that you can enter a bonus, put in bet975. But go to mybookie.ag and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. The boys at Nick's Place. $4 beers and well drinks, $5 Ritas, $6 wine, all until 6. Fantastic food, fantastic spot to watch the games. Got a couple of tight ones. Early going, second half. Fourth seed Auburn leading 13 seed Yale 43-39. It's my understanding one of their starters got ejected from that game too.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I had the TV on.
Of the Auburn players was running down the court just 2 minutes into the game and just leaned over and threw an elbow into the Yale player's stomach. And yeah, he was ejected. It was a flagrant too.
Do we think Dylan Brooks is capable of doing? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Did,
what does that guy
Barkley
have against Ivy
Mongolia?
Leaguers?
It was a Barkley against Mongolia.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that sounds of. Right. I mean, you would know that. You would,
yeah,
like,
but Jeremy,
you did
let
that
me
in
ask
the
you
Olympics
this.
For sure, right?
Brian, yes, it was definitely against the Olympics, and I'm almost positive it was Mongolia. But
yeah,
Brian and I were
that.
Having this conversation, and I wanted to ask you that. Is there a rule, like in football, with like the targeting, where if you get thrown out for a flagrant two, do you miss a next game?
No.
Or part of it? Oh, it's
no.
Just that game? Okay.
Yeah, there's no one game suspension attached to that unless the conferences thought it was so violent that they throw something on top of it afterwards. They can do it, you know, afterwards, but it's not an automatic.
Even in college baseball,
if you get ejected for a game for a player, you get plus one. You get an ejection and you're suspended for the next game. But
yeah,
there's
that's why
not,
I was asking.
Yeah,
but
like the conference can suspend you, but usually it has to be something crazy.
Or like the South Carolina LSU women's fight, where if you leave the bench, then or you actually throw a punch, then it's an extra game. Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
There was some confusion on the South Carolina LSU thing because remember, like they announced that they were going to be suspended a game, but then they weren't. Remember,
yeah,
they got that.
The broadcasters assumed. And then I think it was the team attendants or people in the locker room with the players that got kicked out actually clarified and then sent someone out to tell the table, hey, that's not right. Only the girl from South Carolina that knocked her down and and instigated the violence, and then that was it. If you just left the bench, that was just for the rest of that game.
7-seed Florida, 10-seed Colorado tied at 52-17-20 left to go in the half. So in the second half. So there's time for you to get over at Nick's place and watch the thrilling finishes to these games. All right, let's go Astro projections. Who we think are going to lead the team in wins. And this is like a draft. Blankers has the first pick. Brian has second. I have third. So as soon as one's picked, that he's done. He's off the board. We can't have multiples. Blankers, you have the first pick and the Astros win leader in 2024.
I am going to go
Jake Myers.
No, thank you. In my own head, I will never outlive. I am so bothered by the fact that I did that it's a sore subject. I'm going to stick with what I said all along in terms of I believe Fromber's going to have a bounce back year. Yeah. Fromber is going to be the guy. I'm going to take Fromber Valdez.
Yeah, that was who I was hoping you weren't going to say that name because that seems like the pretty obvious one. Verlander would be in the conversation, but if he's not coming back till second week of April or third week or whatever it is, then Fromber's going to have
the guy
head start.
Javier, and Javier would be the next best.
You said it. Javier would be my pick. Yeah, I would still even with the. With the 3-week head start, I think that Christian Javier is going to have on Justin Verlander. I will go with Christian Javier.
I'm glad you took Javier because I wouldn't have picked him second. So I'm getting my second pick third. Definitely would have went Fromber with the first pick.
Fromber's
your workhorse. He's going to pitch. Yeah. He's going to pitch deep into games, things like that. The reason that I don't like Javier for this stat is because he doesn't pitch deep into games, and he wasn't very good at the second half of last season. I'm going to go with the young guy. I'm going to go with Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown was 1 win off the Astros team lead a year ago. Fromber won 12. Hunter Brown won 11. J.P. France won 11. And I don't think Hunter Brown was all that good last year. I like his stuff. I think that he's going to be better this year. He's already been announced to be the third starter by Joe Espada earlier today. I'm going Hunter Brown with the most wins for the Houston Astros this year. So Blank's got Fromber. Brian's got Javier. I got Brown.
I guess my only minor concern with Hunter Brown as far as this goes is just the possibility still of an innings restriction as they continue to ramp him up over last year being his first full season, but I don't think he was over 150, so I could see them not letting him get too deep into innings both in a game and a season to not have a massive jump up from season to season.
155 innings a year ago.
It was 155.
Do we expect Hunter Brown to pitch fewer or more innings this year?
I thought it was less than that, so I'll take my point back. I thought it was about 140, but
no, I think he pitched too much. He's gonna go more. I think it should have been at 140. I think he's going to be around 160. Like, I don't think it's going to be a crazy jump. I think if he stays healthy, I think it'll be around 160.
160 to 170, he could get the job done.
I could see him finishing around 175.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they want him to throw that many. I feel like they feel like they made a mistake by having him throw 155 last year. I think they do want to kind of limit him, but, I mean, he's effective. Okay, cool. Go 6-7 deep. He's got to stay healthy, obviously. That's the big one. All right, starter ERA. Now, the caveat here is they have to make 20 starts. 20 starts is the minimum requirement for them to qualify for this. So who leads the Astros in starter ERA? Brian's going first on this one.
I still feel okay with the 20 start minimum here, even though this guy's not going to start the season in the rotation. This might be a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go with Justin Verlander here. I'm a little scared of the up and down nature that we saw from Fromber from All Star break on. He, I guess, off the top of my head, seemed like the first obvious pick, but. And I don't know, a little too up and down for me last year, whereas Verlander, when he got a second half of the season, his ERA was under 3 with the Astros. Mm-hmm. So I'll go Verlander. I still think he gets over 20 starts and he wins the ERA crown.
I don't think it's a bad pick. I actually considered it just because of the fact that, first of all, I kind of was trying to figure out where you guys were going to lean. But also, I just feel like he's got a great team behind him. He knows how to pitch, even if he doesn't have his A game anymore. The only thing that I think is the caveat is, will he get 20 starts in?
3.31 ERA last year, not under 3. 3.31 once you became an Astro.
No, I said second half with the Astros.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, his second half ERA was just under 3, I believe at 2.92.
The 3.31 ERA still would have led the Astros for what it's worth.
Right.
Frommer was second at 3.45. I'm going to go with the workhorse here. I think Fromber is going to figure it out a bit. I think he's going to be a little bit more of the Fromber that we think of the last 2 years. I think Fromber has peaked, though, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I don't think Fromber's ever going to have the season that he had 2 years ago. But I'll go with him as my ERA leader. Like, I don't think he's ever going to have a 2.82 ERA again. I don't think he's ever going to be a sub-3 ERA guy. But can he be around 3.15, 3.20? I think so. So give me Fromber Valdez to be the Astro ERA leader, minimum 12 starts.
I think that's a smart pick, and I think we know how good his stuff is. But I'm with you. I think that we've seen the best of Frommer Valdez. That's why when we always have the discussions, and we've been very, very honest about, you know, whether Frommer is worth a big-time contract and are the Astros going to give him one. I also agree with you. I think his best baseball is behind him. Plus, that whole thing about just the mental aspect of the game, I don't think it's ever going away. And I think sometimes it's going to bite him in the butt, and it's going to cost him in big game situations. I'm going to say Javier because I like that in the spring Javier has shown that he's gotten his fastball back, that he seems to be a little bit more unhittable. I don't think that he's going to get crushed or beat up even if he gives up a bomb here or there. And so because I also have the third pick, I'm going to take the best guy that I think is still out there from this perspective and take Javier.
Yeah, I think if Javi's who he was 2 years ago, I think it's a great pick, you know?
Yeah.
It did cross my mind to take Javier.
I hope you win, actually. Because I feel kind of safe with JV. Like, I think JV is going to be around a 3.25, 3.40 ERA type. I think Frommer, like, even with his, you know, demons or whatever, I think he's going to be under a 3.50. Javier, to me, is the one that has the most volatility. So if Javier leads the Astros in starter ERA, either things are going really, really well because Javier's back, or things are going really, really bad because the rest of the Astros pitching staff
That's a good point. I think if Javier ended up winning the ERA crown, that's because he returns to the 2022 form we see. Like, I couldn't see like the scenario where everything goes wrong and he then leads the team in ERA with like a 3.75. I couldn't see that.
Exactly.
I think it'd be more likely that he's like, you know, around 2.50 and he's regained that 2022 form.
That's what's weird about Javier and Frommer. Like, we both feel like they're both very volatile. Whereas like JV, you feel kind of steady. JP's kind of steady, but a back end. Urquidy kind of steady, but a back end. And I think Hunter Brown's probably volatile too, just because you don't know yet, because he's still young in his career.
It's also weird that it's in different ways, right? Because we think Fromber's like psyche is a little unstable, and then you got Javi, who's just the coolest cucumber in the salad. But we know that his stuff sometimes doesn't translate, and that he can blow up a little bit. But I agree. I think they're both volatile. I think they're both. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, they're massive keys to the long-term success of this season and how far they go. I feel good about both of them right now, and if I was worried about one or the other more, I'm worried about Fromber because he hasn't had the greatest of spring.
The Houston Texans, did they have the best offseason in the NFL to date? And are they the biggest threats to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live for Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.